Today's reading is from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Today, I want to talk to you about the journey of faith. The journey of faith. And over the last several weeks together, we have been looking at the different puzzle pieces of faith, recognizing that there is this incredibly important thing that we have in the midst of our lives, this anchor of what it means to follow Jesus. And yet it's one of those concepts that is both so simple and so difficult to define at the same time. And because it remains difficult in certain ways, we aren't able to fully hold on to what God is actually trying to do in our lives by understanding what faith truly is. And I believe in this season, what God wants to do is he wants to give us the ability to hold on to faith in a way that we have never been able to hold on to it before. And that in every single piece, we will discover a different reality of this beautiful gift that God has given us. And today, I want to talk to you about how faith is inviting you into a journey and what the journey of faith actually means. Because the journey of faith is really about the journey home and how you and I hold on to home in the midst of the lives that we lead. Pastor Lindsay this morning shared this word. I hadn't spoken to her about my teaching in any way, and just this sense of Revelation 4, this moment where heaven beckons John to come. It says, "Come up here." And then the scene of Revelation 4 is actually the throne room scene of Jesus ascending from heaven, when he ascends from earth into heaven, and the Lamb who was slain, who is now the reconciliation of the world. Revelation 4 is a picture of that moment and the worship of heaven when Jesus returned to his true home. And then what we see is that the rest of the book of Revelation is wild and there's so many different aspects, but I would tell you, if the book of Revelation is about one thing, it is about the journey home. And ultimately, everything between Revelation 4 and Revelation 21 are giving pictures of what was, what is, and what is to come about the journey till you get to Revelation 21, the passage that Pastor Emily spoke about, which is the picture of home, of the place that we were made for. And while we are going to do a teaching series here in a handful of months that I told you about heaven, one of the things that we see, which is so wild and mysterious, is that while there is a heaven now, there is a paradise now, the heaven, our true home, is not here yet. That eternal heaven will be in the collision of heaven and earth. And right now, I don't know the best language for it. There's a temporary heaven. But there will come a day where heaven and earth collide. And this will be our home forever. And Revelation is about the moment where Jesus ascends into the heaven that is now, until the day comes where he brings the heaven that will be and invites us into the journey of faith, which is a journey home. And what I want to tell you is that we need to let Isaac be a guide and a mentor to us of what it means to have moments in disorientation where you live in a place that is not truly where you belong, but you've learned to hold on to home. And it guides your way forward. It guides who you were created and called to be. And even this picture that the journey of faith is about a journey to your true home is embedded all throughout the heart of the scriptures. Solomon, when he writes Ecclesiastes, at the end of his life, after this man of great and profound wisdom spends his life basically pursuing every single thing a human being could possibly do, wasting his life on the realities of all of the foolishness and folly of the world, he tries to write this piece of wisdom, learning from his failures. And in the midst of it, he says this in Ecclesiastes 3. He says, he has made everything beautiful in its time, and yet he has also set eternity in the hearts of men. And he's talking about the entire book of Ecclesiastes is that when you look around what you can see under the sun, you'll never find what you're looking for. But there's something that's over it, something that's beyond it. And that's the place you belong. That's the eternity that's woven into the heart of every single human being. That's why every single human being in history and in modern times, no matter their beliefs, their culture, their practices, their understanding, they cannot deny the ache for meaning and the desire to understand, is there something beyond me? Because in that very thing is the ache for their true home. Or as C.S. Lewis puts it, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. You have an ache in you, and it's an ache for your true home. It's an ache for the place you belong. And it's the journey of faith of how you walk from here to there. And in this, right, over the last several weeks, we've talked about these different pieces that by the end, we're going to have this full and true picture of faith that we can hold on to and walk among. But this opening idea that the author of Hebrews gives us, that faith has an identity, it is something. And he speaks to these two things, that faith is a possession of the guarantee of the future hope that is coming, and faith is the conviction of the evidence that proves the confidence of what is currently unseen. That there really is identity to faith. It's this possession of hope. It is this conviction of what I can't see. It's something that's in me that God awakens, and by it I enter into union with him. But it's not just an identity, that there's this invitation, right? That the invitation of faith is that it is going to always lead our lives to these fields of impossibilities. That you and I are going to be led into this life of faith where we are going to walk through things that we are not capable of, but God is. And it's here that faith invites us into the true nature of our lives. But it doesn't just invite us as we are, it invites us and equips us. And it gives us this map, this compass, this way, this guidebook. That in this life of faith, there is an identity and an invitation. But it's not just that there's an identity and invitation. Last week, we talked about how there's also a shield. That as we walk in faith, we are going to face lies and trials of many kinds from our flesh, from the world around us, from the culture around us, from the enemy around us. And we have this shield of faith. And by it, we navigate this journey and not only can withstand the lies and the fiery darts of the world and the enemy around us, but together our shield's meant to unify us. Then the shield that happens in true community together, that you and I can navigate our lives. But all of these things are always pointing to this, that there is a journey of faith. The identity of faith and the invitation of faith and the shield of faith are not simply unto themselves. They are telling you about something that matters. A journey. The journey of the life you were made for. The journey that you're going to need a shield for. The journey that you're going to have to understand the identity and the invitation of faith for. The journey that's going to walk through fields of impossibilities. But this journey of faith, the beautiful part about this, this compass that God gave you, it is oriented to true north. And true north is home. Faith and the journey of faith is always trying to point you home to the place you really belong. And this is what the author of Hebrews continues to tell us about. After all of these stories, and he's told us about all of these different people and patriarchs and fathers and mothers, he says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country they had left, they would have the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And what the author of Hebrews is saying, he says, listen, all of these stories I've told you, all of the stories from Genesis 1 on, all of the stories of Abraham and Sarah, of the patriarchs, of the original stories of the covenant family of God, there is one thing that has united every single one of them. That all of these people, what they were actually had their hearts pointed to, was not the physical reality of all of the things that they sensed in the promises of God, that they actually had something happen in their hearts that was pointing them towards a compass of their true home. They were all on a journey for a city built by God himself. They were all on a journey for something that they could not find in this world. And that's why, even though at the end of their life, there was promises that they had not yet experienced, they could understand why they were living in the fulfillment of God's movement in their life, because there were promises made to them that only death could satisfy. That they could stand at the end of their life saying, my life has not been pointing towards what can be found in the here and now. My life has been pointing to something beyond the sun. And by faith, my eyes and my heart have been anchored in what no man can build and what no home can provide. A home whose dwelling is God. A city whose builder is God. A place where I come back home again. And this is what the journey of faith is trying to tell us. That the faith of our fathers and our mothers is not a home built by men. It's actually a compass that is set on a heavenly country that God alone has built. That there is a place I was made. There is somewhere I belong. There is an eternity woven into my heart. And faith is calling me back to the very home that is the only home that can satisfy my heart. And friends, we have to understand that we live in this unique moment in cultural Christianity. I grew up in a culture, maybe you can resonate with this. There's this principle, I teach it all the time, but it's one of those anchor principles I just need you to know, because it just is so helpful. Mark 8, Jesus has this moment with the disciples where he talks about these two powers in the world, and he emerges himself as the true cornerstone. And he says, basically, if you do not anchor yourself in me, you're going to default to one of these two powers. And it's either going to be the power of the Pharisee, or it's going to be the power of Herod, the power of culture. And these two things, we get it. Pharisees separate. Herod assimilates. Jesus incarnates. This is the true vision of what it means to follow Jesus. I grew up in a culture, as I think many of you did, that was clear about heaven being home. But it was not clear on what that meant. And it was a disregard for the here and now. What are we going to do with our enemies? Well, we're going to buy a bunker and buy some shotguns and just wait out the rapture. Right? I remember people telling me, why would you ever recycle? Because the earth's going to burn anyways, right? I'm not telling you, but it's like, what a terrible thought process. Pretty sure that's not what stewardship means, right? But this was the world I grew up in, and I think the world many of you grew up in, a separating. Heaven is my home, so this life doesn't really matter. Well, there's a lot of flaws with that. And a generation of followers of Jesus have picked that up and said, there's a lot of flaws with that. But rather than coming to the truth, they swing to the opposite side, and it's all about heaven now. And then there's this prayer of Jesus that's really important about on earth as it is in heaven. So all of this bad theology seems to be rightly appropriated because we can hide behind this one prayer of Jesus that I'm just living for eternity now, not realizing that we're actually not really being faithful to Jesus. We are just basically saying, I am going to pursue my present happiness now in this life as much as possible and use Christian language to make it seem okay. And so we defy the reality because there's something broken over here. And so then we jump to another thing that's broken over here. And let me just tell you, this is why this matters deeply that we reclaim this. Because our true home isn't here. But that is never meant to talk about the meaninglessness of this life or that you somehow get this pass of how you steward this life. In fact, it is the very thing that tells you the significance of this life and how you and I are called to live among it. And there is a truth. The kingdom is now and not yet. And so many times we forget the now part. There is a reality. Jesus really did pray on earth as it is in heaven. He really longs to see God's movement and kingdom and rule and reign in the here and now. It is not just about an eternity that's coming. It's about a present reality that's coming. But if you buy into that present reality as the hope of your life, you are going to be foolishly wounded. And you're going to place your hope not in the confidence of the cross, but in your ability to be happy. See, but faith is calling us somewhere else. And as a generation of Christians, we need to reclaim the anchor of our hope in eternity, the anchor in our hope of heaven, the anchor of our hope that there is a true home. And it's the place I was made, and it is the place I will find my true belonging. And in the journey of my life from here to there, faith is going to navigate my way forward. And that does not diminish the here and now, my home, and my neighborhood, and my family, and my friends, and the call of God in my life. In fact, it's what gives it its meaning. And so I step into the now and not yet kingdom for the hope and the flourishing of the world. See, and then this is what the author of Hebrews does. Just like last time, he tells us these four stories talking about this journey of faith. Hebrews 11:20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob on Esau, according to the faith. Hebrews 11:21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each one of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Hebrews 11:22, by faith, Joseph, when the end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instruction concerning the burial of his bones. Hebrews 11:23, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. All four of these stories are telling the same thing about the fathers and mothers who walked the journey of faith. That Jacob, when he was at the end of his life, hadn't realized all of the promises that were made to him. But he realized that the promises that were made to him were about a heavenly country beyond him. And so he blessed his sons. The famous story about Jacob coming and taking the blessing. By the way, that story, even though Jacob comes and deceives, it was a promise that God had made him, would give him. The problem of that story is that he didn't trust God to receive that promise, so he deceived his father and took it for himself. But do not think that it wasn't the will and the way of God. Sometimes even in our great sinfulness and deception, God is moving his way forward in our lives. But Jacob, as he neared his end, he blessed his grandsons by the inheritance of his true home. Joseph brings his two sons to his father and asks them for a blessing. And Joseph, right, or Jacob, he's leaning on a staff. The end of his life has come. But he blesses them, not according to what is, but according to the promises of what will be. Joseph, when he comes to his end, and he is this powerful leader in Egypt, he speaks about the promises of an Exodus home. Even though he is the second greatest ruler in the kingdom of Egypt, he wants to be buried not in the land he ruled, but in the land that would be promised to his children. It's amazing stories in the book of Genesis. Moses' parents, Even though they were enslaved and without hope for their own personal redemption, they defied the king by faith in the hope of the redemption for their son. They stood in something that they didn't fully see and realize in their own lives, but it didn't sway them about calling others into it, because what they were standing in was a home that was coming. It was a home that was built by God himself. Matt and Lynn's team, you can come on up. And what I love about these four stories is they give us these four different pictures of the anchor of our true home: a future, an inheritance, a promise, and a hope. That faith is actually trying to tell you that there is a true home, and there is a true future, and there is a true inheritance, and there is a true promise, and there is a true hope. And the journey of faith is walking through these truths to find a city built by God alone. See, this is why we as Americans have a problem with faith. Because the anchor that guides our future is rarely our true home. The anchor that guides most of our future status, or money, or the life we dream of, our own happiness. Things that aren't evil, just things that make terrible true north for your life. Let me just say this so clearly. Your life was not made to be successful. Your life was not made to be as wealthy as you want to be. Your life was not made to have your dream career. Your life was not made to have your dream life. Your life was not made to have your dream job. And I don't make an enemy of all of those things. God bless you with all of those things. Your life was made for one thing: to dwell with God. And there is a home that is written in your hearts that is trying to find voice, that faith comes alive and actually partners with as a compass and a direction to your future. And this is why I had Pastor Emily read this picture, Revelation 21, because this is actually a picture of the home that you ache for, the home you were made for, the journey of faith that you are navigating towards, a new heaven and a new earth, where there's no longer any sea. That picture, we miss it because we're not Jewish 2,000 years ago. The sea is where trouble comes from. But you have a home where trouble isn't on the wind. A holy city prepared by God, restored and beautiful. A home not filled with your brokenness, but your restoration, your wholeness. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. It's a restoration of the garden. Like God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, you will walk with God. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, that even though right now you know in part, even though you're fully known, the day will come where you will fully know. You'll walk with him in perfect unity with God in this restored creation of life. He's going to wipe away every tear, every place of pain from your childhood to the point when your life ends in the here and now. Every single tear of the suffering you've faced, of the challenges you've walked through, of the sins you've committed, of the chances you've missed, of all of the heartbreak in your life, God will wipe them from your eyes. You'll be whole. He'll restore you. There'll be no more mourning, because death, our great enemy, has been defeated. And the old order, you know that old order? Called human beings who do evil things, corruption. You know that corruption in your own heart? That old order that takes advantage of others. That old order that always twists for your own way. That old order that just suddenly just moves the truth a little bit to the left to look a little bit better. That old order that fills the world with evil and pain and injustice that we're so used to. It's gone. It's gone. The old order will pass away. And then this best part, Jesus says, this is about the journey of faith. Between here and there, I'm making you a promise. He says, I am making all things new. It's not just about what will be. It's that what will be is in motion somehow now. And that my life, anchored in my true home, tells me the story about how I live in the here and now. That I'm walking with the God who is making all things new. And one day in his glorious return will fulfill it all. And heaven and earth will collide and I'll come home. And you'll come home. And the true nature of who we are will be found. This is our hope. Make no doubt about it. Our hope is in the supernatural. Our hope is in the resurrection. Our hope is in the claims of Jesus. There is no hope to be found in what you can do in the here and now. There's hope alone in this, in the home that's woven into your heart. And see, this is why we walk by faith, because when I walk by faith and I experience profound suffering, I can genuinely say I do not suffer like those who have no hope. Why? Because my true home is a place where suffering has found its end. This is why in our lives I can love my enemies. Why? Because in my true home I don't have them. And so I pick up the heart of my home for the here and now. This is why I can walk through life and say, I'm gonna choose to forgive. Why? Because in my true home I was forgiven. Forgiven in ways I didn't deserve. And so now I pick up the practices of my home. I can lay hands and I believe in God is a healer. Why? Because in my true home, there's no more pain and suffering. I bring my home into the here and now as best as I know how. I admit a now and not yet, but in the now and not yet, I am navigated by one thing, my home, my true home. And the journey of faith is by how I navigate here to there. And I do so by knowing where faith is pointing me and holding on to the hope of what that means. Between here and there is going to be a lot of loneliness. Between here and there is going to be suffering I didn't expect. Between here and there are going to be challenges that I can't win. But I've got a substance. This is not hopeful. I've got a substance. I've got something in me. And in that something in me, I've been given equipment that I can navigate this by. And I've been given a shield by which I can walk through this. And I have been given a destination that has a name that orients everything I do and everything I walk through and that calls me into this radical life of faith. Why? Because I'm longing for a home built by God. No home can satisfy it here. No moment can satisfy it here. I was made to dwell with God alone, and so were you. And so the journey of faith, this is what it does. It leads us home. It leads us home. And we have to reclaim being a people on our way home. And how much that means that this place we call home matters. It matters. Would you stand with me? I wanted to just close today with a chance for us to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. I've asked Lindsay and the team just to sing and to lead. And as we do this, I'm going to come and I'll send you. We've got time. I'm going to come and close and I'm going to send you here in a moment. But I'm going to ask God, because I sense this, that there is a work of the Spirit that He wants to do in you by re-anchoring into the true home you really have. and all of the places of all of the false homes that we've tried to orient our life towards, that he'll begin to adjust and shift as we own or repent or receive. But come on, would you just begin to allow the Spirit to minister to you before I send you home? God, I ask right now in the power of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that you would awaken faith inside of us. Lord, that you would actually begin to call us home, that you would increase the very longing inside of us for the city we were made for. So Jesus, would you meet us? Come on, church, let's just sing and respond and let the Spirit minister.
Praise to the Lord, to the
Father, would you today in us restore unto us the joy of our salvation, which is in the inheritance of a home, the home we were made for. God, would you re-anchor us in the vision of eternity, not to dismiss what is here and now, but to beckon us to its meaning. Would you awaken the language and the culture of heaven in our hearts? Lord, teach us the hodies, the words and the moments, the choices that speak to where we really belong, that we would be able to, Jesus, alongside of you, pray. Here, God, here. Here in Smyrna, here in Atlanta, as it is where you are, where I long for, where I'm going. Lord, would you make this home like our true home? And whatever you need from me, would you teach me? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Listen, would prayer teams come forward? And as we send you out, I just want to encourage you and invite you. Wherever you are, just in a season where you need to stand in faith with others, wherever God is doing something in you of a journey of faith, where God speaks to you, it just provokes repentance in your heart. Come and let us pray. If you're here today and you don't actually know, or you know you have not given your life to Jesus, but you know that this true home is your home too, come, let us pray with you. And even today, we just say, if you're walking through physical pain, come, let us lay hands and pray for you. Let us walk with you in this place. So listen, may God bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he turn his countenance to you. And may you know everywhere you go this week, you are radically loved by Jesus. If we can pray, let us pray. And if not, have a great Mother's Day. We love you guys. God bless you. Love you, moms.